FM show right here on KUT Student Radio, channel 66 in the dorms, KUT.org, and 1620 AM. Also available with a delayed broadcast on 99.9 FM on the east side of the campus. This is the UFM show, featuring discussions on the paranormal and anything else that we want to. With your host, Justin. To reach the UFM show, if you're east of the Wasatch, dial 801-585-3449. West of the Wasatch, 801-585-3449. Or drop us an email at marsam233@yahoo.com. That's marsam233@yahoo.com. All one word. This is the UFM show. Now, here's Justin.
Yes, it is. The UFM show for this Thursday night. It is the 16th of November, the middle of November. Next week is Thanksgiving. So what do you think about that? Key is... my voice just cracked. That's funny. Key is not with us tonight. She has a lot of work to do, so she's going to be busy. But you've got me for the next 2 hours on the UFM show. I'm Justin. Hello, everybody. How are you guys doing out there? Not a bad day, except for it was really cold outside, and the Heritage Center was serving crappy food as usual. Oh man, did that make me sick. Oh man, I cannot tell you how sick I was because of that food. I'm feeling better now though, and since we are doing the show tonight, our show topic tonight is UFOs. I've got two experts with us. One of them is going to be with us here in shortly. His name is Dew Bigham. I don't know where he's at. I just found him on the internet and called him, and he said he'd be willing to do this. So again, his name is Dew Bigham. He's a self-proclaimed UFO expert, and we're going to be discussing the UFO phenomenon this evening. And later on, we're going to have another guest whose name is Tri Hess. He's a radio ham radio operator from Las Vegas, Nevada, where I will be tomorrow night. I'm going to go to Las Vegas. But anyway, I'm going there to actually film a movie and hopefully see a UFO. So, anyway, I want to let you guys know how you can get a hold of me during the show. You can contact me mostly by MySpace, actually, or by phone. I'll give you the phone number in just a second. But my MySpace, we actually have a new MySpace for this show. It's no longer my other one. It's this one. It's myspace.com/theUFM. That's the UFM. It's all one word. That's as simple as it gets. myspace.com/theUFM. So if you listeners out there want to contact me with fast flashes during the show, I will try to get those on air as soon as I get those. Or you can call the phones when they are open at 801-585-3449, and those should be open in a little bit. We're going to get to your phone calls and tell us your UFO stories. But we're going to take a commercial break. We're going to be back with Dew Bigham right after this.
Like a rock! Oh, like a rock! Oh, it came out like a rock! If you're like me, you have constipation problems. Well, I recommend Cold Flatch. That's Cold Flatch. Available in pharmacies and drugstores everywhere. Because it takes care of... like a rock! Oh, like a rock!
Hello, fellow listeners. Do you suffer at night from poor sleep? Are you tossing and turning all night long and beating your pillow and head into agony? Well, for years, I was just like you. I had trouble sleeping and would frequently rip my pillow apart. You need the new Flatch Flex Instapillow. This comfortable pillow is so wonderful, you feel like you're sleeping on the clouds. See, the Flatch Flex uses your buttocks as a guide to how big your head is, and once it has an accurate measurement, it will fit snugly and comfortable in any position. The Flatch Flex is not only a great pillow, but it also has the ability to use aromatherapy to gently drip me off to sleep. Choose from such smells as ocean waves, rainforest fresh, Salt Lake smog, Thermopolis fart, or many more downloadable smells right from Flatch Flex's website. Order one today by visiting www.flatchflex.frt, that's www.flatchflex.frt, or dial 1-800-BUTT-PILLOW. Try it today.
KU 1620, Channel 66, KU.org, and DXFM 99.9.
Okay, on the phone with me this evening.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Whoa, that's too early. On the phone with me this evening is Du Bigum, who is a self-proclaimed UFO expert. He's going to be talking with us today about UFOs. How you doing there, Du?
I'm doing pretty good right now. I can't give you my location because I'm out in the field right now doing some investigating. I got my team here, and I'm talking to you via satellite phone. So,
okay,
we're pretty high tech here. I'm a member of the Western United States UFO Society, and we're getting pretty big here. So,
that's cool.
We do investigations all over the Mountain West.
Do you have you done any investigations here in Utah?
Yes, we have. We've done some out by the test range out, I believe it's west of Salt Lake City.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's the salt flats out there.
Where the Stardust lander came down and crashed into the desert out there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We have a lot of NASA flights come down here and crash into the desert. This is where their main trajectory goes.
That's cool. I tried to capture Stardust coming in, but I had no luck last year.
If I recall correctly, it was a cloudy day. We were going to go and look for any strange UFO sightings that day as well, and it was pretty cloudy, so we didn't really get to see the Stardust coming in, but I'm glad that it was a success, because I'd hate to see one of those things get lost.
Yeah, that would be really bad, and I'm glad Stardust made it, like you said. But anyway, how about Wyoming? My home state is from Wyoming. Have you seen any UFOs in Wyoming?
Well, I've done a couple research investigations around Wyoming. I did some up by Lander a couple of years ago. We didn't really find anything up there. We did see a couple weird things, but I've actually, even though we're the Western UFO Society, we've been all over the place. Been in the Midwest, been East Coast, all over.
Cool. That's really awesome. I'm going to have to look you guys up. Do you have a website?
I'm really bad at memorizing these things. I'll get that to you later in the show. I got to ask one of my team workers here.
Okay, we'll be sure to remind me about that. But since you are a self-proclaimed, how do you become a self-proclaimed UFO expert, actually?
Well, the way I did was I've always been interested in UFOs and the unexplained as a kid.
Uh-huh.
And growing up on the East Coast, it was just natural for me to get into that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And me and my friends as a kid, we got into groups, and sometimes we'd go out at night and look for ghosts or we'd look for UFOs.
Uh-huh.
And, I guess it's always stuck with me since I was a kid. I always wanted to be a UFO researcher. I have another job, of course. I can't pay the bills doing this job, but it's something I love doing and something that's great to do.
So you've done years of research and looked through lots of books and stuff like that.
Oh yes.
I've looked
a lot all over the place.
What's going on?
We're talking to your. Thought we saw something here.
Really? What did you think you saw?
Billy. One of the guys in here said Billy. He just saw something.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was just a plane.
Yeah, there's a lot of actually aircraft activity around here tonight, in particular. When I was coming to the show, it was really strange. There was a lot of activity.
So, you have the Air Force Base right up there, I believe.
Yeah, Hill Air Force Base is north.
Yeah,
of
yeah. Plain. You have Hill Air Force Base and. A lot of times what the military will do is they'll do maneuvers at night, so people aren't really, a lot of people aren't outside at night, especially
uh-huh.
during the cold, so they'll do that at night so you can't see them. That's when most of the UFO incidents occur, is at night.
I see.
That's the same with Area 51, too. It's, they have Nell's Air Force Base up there, and they do a lot of their maneuvers at night.
Really, I'm actually going to be going to Vegas this weekend. I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show, but
I did actually, and I also heard the music before your show. I don't know where you guys get your music, but
I agree with that.
But that was dumb.
I know KU really needs to flush out their music and actually could just change it up and put some actual other stuff in there other than that emo crap.
They do.
That's like the worst type of music ever. I mean, who wants to hear somebody going... I don't care if it does sound good in your car. But anyway, my first question for you tonight is, why do you think, or what do you think people are likely seeing when they see a UFO? What is exactly this unidentified flying object?
Well, a lot of it can be explained by, I don't know if you know this, but the peripheral vision of your eye is really sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And you might catch something out of the corner of your eye that you wouldn't catch by looking straight at it.
Really?
And that's because some of the rods and cones in your eyes catch more light in that direction on your peripheral vision.
Uh-huh.
So I believe a lot of UFO instances, at least from what I've found, are, you know, people will see something moving out of the sky, or they'll see a satellite. I don't know if you've ever seen a satellite.
I actually have. Across,
but it looks just like a star moving, and some people will mistake those for UFOs.
Uh-huh.
Or some people will see a plane in the distance, and they'll, you know, mistake that.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times when I'm on investigations, what we do is we're out there walking along, and, you know, someone will see something out of the corner of their eye, and they'll be like,
uh-huh,
you know, hey, what is that? And everybody will get excited, but it'll be end up being a plane, you know, or off in the distance, just a commuter airline or something.
And I wanted to remind all of you out there, if you think you're actually seeing a UFO, watch it for a few seconds and see if it actually blinks, because if it blinks, then it's man-made.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because UFOs, they don't have any blinking lights. At least all the reports and investigations I've looked at, none of them really have blinking lights. They're just, a lot of times they're silent.
Mm-hmm.
They could have many colored lights, but they are not blinking, and they move very slow or very fast, unlike modern aircraft we see in the sky today.
And often the reports I've seen actually in the past have UFOs actually zigzagging, not flying straight at all. Just
exactly. There have been reports by aircraft flying over the Gulf of Mexico where UFO will come up along the side of their plane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll approach them at tremendous speeds, and then it will slow down, like and be in the same speed as a plane while they're flying over the Gulf of Mexico there.
Yeah, and that's another area.
Then it will go off and do like a weird tangent off to the right, and then it'll travel. I think they clocked one of them on the radar. They caught a lot of them on the radar, and they clocked one of them at like maybe I think 7,000 miles an hour.
Wow.
And that, you know, nothing
the
weekend belt that we know of can go that fast.
That's, of course, unless it's like a huge government cover-up, which is like...
Yeah, it
could
is.
Be, it could, it could
I,
be
I a, believe some of the... Actually, I have a personal theory, but I believe some of the UFOs we are seeing is high-tech government vehicles, aircraft, you know.
Developed at places like Area 51?
Exactly.
Huh. And have you heard of this Green River, Utah complex? Like the second, it's supposed to be the second Area 51?
Oh, yes, I have, actually. The reason they moved, and I've done a lot of research in that, too. It's over by Desolation Canyon,
uh-huh,
which is in the eastern portion of the state, along the Green River, I believe.
Yeah.
And the reason they moved their complex out there, from what I've heard, is that they're... Area 51 in Nevada has been getting too much exposure. I mean, you could go on Google Earth, and you could look it up right there, and you could see the runways and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and that's that was taken by, like, Russian spy satellites and stuff.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Taken, like,
you could see it with any kind of satellite. But if you look underneath the ground, I believe that the base in eastern Utah is underground, very deep. And, you know, it's very, very isolated out there. There's an actual Indian reservation, but, you know, there's nothing out there for miles, so it'd be easy to hide a base out there until the public or someone leaks and gets a hold of it.
And chances are that might even happen.
Chances are, give it time, I believe it will, and they'll have to move somewhere else.
Yep, maybe into Wyoming. There's actually, I've heard reports of another base in Wyoming, too.
I actually have not heard of that. Where at in Wyoming?
I believe it was actually central Wyoming, or it's either central or southeastern, somewhere that was very desolate.
You do have Warren Air Force Base out there.
Oh, yeah, that's in Cheyenne.
And you do have all the missile societies, or missile silos.
Yeah, I've actually visited a site, a remote site in Wyoming when I lived in Laramie.
Really? Is there a site out there by Laramie?
No, it's not necessarily a UFO site or a special. It's just a hidden military missile base. That's what I was trying to say. It's actually a missile base by a ghost town called Carbon in Wyoming.
Hmm.
So yeah, they're pretty good at hiding them too, and it's like really private property, and they say like no trespassing or we could kill you or whatnot.
Oh yeah, you got to be very careful if you go around Area 51. They have signs up all around there, and they even have motion sensors all over the hills.
Uh-huh.
They have sensors underground that can detect changes in pressure. They have listening posts all around there. I mean, if you're walking up on those hills, chances are they will find you. And believe me, you do not want to go in there and mess around. It could be pretty dangerous. And they take their program there pretty seriously.
And I've actually seen like documentaries on the History Channel or TLC about Area 51, and they say that they have like radar capabilities that extend beyond civilian radar. You know,
They could go, you know, hundreds of feet beyond what the normal radar can go.
Yeah, and it's like really, really high-tech stuff that they're... Here's a question. Why would the government want to cover this all up?
Well, I believe there are many reasons for this. I mentioned earlier, I tend to believe that many UFOs are not of outer space origin or not of alien origin.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that a lot of UFOs are actually... human-made spacecraft, either remote control or actually piloted by humans.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that, you know, we had Roswell back in 1947
down
in the New Mexico desert.
I actually have some questions about that for later, but go ahead and say what you're going to say.
That pretty much started everything right there. And if you look at the Roswell report, I believe this is what they did is, at first they came out and said it was an unidentified spacecraft, and they had three cold bodies found out there in the field with the wreckage.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, what I believe they did is they turned around and said, well, wait a minute, this was just a weather balloon. But what they did was they played the story about it being an actual UFO crash for a while to get the public to actually get enthused and believe in it. And then what they did was they denied it. So it made it look like the government was hiding something. And so the people would say, well, no. What you had out there was an actual UFO.
Really? Is that your personal opinion on that?
Well, what I'm trying to get on here is the government intentionally said it was a UFO in order to fool the public into thinking every future development from then on was a UFO from outer space.
Oh, really?
And the public would believe it. I mean, think about it. What way would you want to fool the public by giving them something that's so enticing and then denying it so it looks like a cover-up?
Mm-hmm.
And what you're actually covering up is your future aerospace technology.
Really? That's kind of interesting. I actually, like I said, I have a question about that I want to ask you a little bit later. Maybe we'll ask our second guest as well when you guys... Are you guys going to both stay around for a bit?
I believe, let's see, we're out here in the field now, and if I break up on my range, I'm pretty open right now. We're out in the middle of the open, so I'm getting pretty good signal right here.
Uh-huh.
So, I could stay around longer if it's needed.
Okay, because I'd like to have you talk with Tra Hess, too. He's a ham radio operator from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, Tra Hess, I've heard of him.
Yeah, he's into this stuff, too. I think he actually attempted to have a radio show at one time out there in Vegas.
Yeah, I do believe he did. I do believe that's true. He's also actually gone up and driven closer than most people have to Area 51.
Yeah, he's driven like right up to the gates.
Yeah, he has. He's driven close up that. He's got a first-hand account. I've actually been too scared to do that.
You may have actually seen these videos too. These are pretty popular videos that he's taken on the TV. The white vehicles and stuff like that all around. So. Yeah, but my second question to keep this moving along, since it's actually getting, how easy is it to create a false sighting, and what percentage of reports of UFOs that come in are likely false?
Oh, I believe a large portion of those reports that come in of UFOs are actually something that could be explained by it's either a plane, it's a satellite, someone saw a meteor. You know, I believe a lot of these could be explained. If you look at some of the UFO photos of the old days, I mean, mean, some of these are obviously fakes. I mean, you look, it looks just like someone threw a top hat in front of the camera.
Oh, yeah.
And that was it. And then they've done some extensive analysis on some of these that are more trickier.
Mm-hmm.
But they found that, you know, people have tied UFO-shaped to a fishing line.
Oh, yeah?
And they've strung it across, so it looks like it's flying across. But if you look at it, I mean, you could tell that there's something behind it. Now, there are some accounts that are completely unexplainable. For instance, the one I mentioned about that happened over the Gulf of Mexico.
Uh-huh.
Where a plane saw, this was a military plane, I believe. They had it on a radar, and it came up along the side of them, and it was flying extremely fast, and it was pulling like 90-degree turns in the, you know, midair. You know, you can't fake that. And they have radar of this. You know, they have it recorded on radar. So, but yeah, I believe a lot of these are which are fake. You know, people are wanting their 15 minutes of fame,
exactly,
or something like that.
And then I see it would be fairly easy to do that. You know, like you said, with fishing line and stuff like that. I've actually done it in the past too.
You just look at the easy way to create it, and you can pretty much do anything. You have a if you have enough time on your hands, you could make a fake UFO story, and you could turn it in. You could have people for a while, but but there's those few out there who know the truth, and they've seen these things up close at hand, and you know, whatever these are, they're definitely unidentified, you know, flying objects. And
yeah. Okay. Why aren't all the reports of the craft itself the same? You know, all the reports that come in of the UFOs, there's different ones. There's actual different descriptions, different sizes, different shapes. Why is that? Why aren't they all the same?
Well, that goes back to my theory about Roswell, where different aerospace programs across the globe are using this UFO phenomena to cover up what their actual inventions are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about this. I mean, we had the that black triangular bomber, I think it's the B-17.
Yep.
Come out, and that was in development way back in the 50s.
Uh-huh.
And no one knew about that until the 80s. So that
was
30 years
yeah.
of development. And I mean, you go back, you know, to the 70s, and you think about what they could have now. They could have plenty of more advanced spacecraft than that. They're just waiting for the right time to expose it to the world, you know, the next World War III or something like that, to release their weapons, you know.
So most of these UFO sightings are actually human-made?
I do believe that. I do believe most of these UFO sightings are. I don't. If you look at the scientific aspect of it, you'll see that space is very vast.
Mm-hmm.
Very vast. And we have been emitting the best way to contact with the aliens is through radio waves.
Yes.
And we've been emitting radio waves ever since the 1930s.
Actually, probably
you know,
before
that. They're powerful enough to reach
space.
Oh,
yeah. Uh-huh.
Now, you've seen that movie Contact, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, it's one of mine, too, actually. If you know about the beginning scene of Contact, where you start off at Earth and it's playing recent music.
Yeah.
And it zooms out away from Earth through the solar system, through the orb cloud, and away to the other stars. And you eventually end up in a nebula, and you're hearing, you know, the very first radio waves.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually what's going on out there in space. You know, Earth is like a giant amplifier that's broadcasting these radio waves out into space constantly, and these waves are traveling at the speed of light.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you look at the closest star, which is Alpha Centauri, which is not likely to have any life systems, it's not a star in the same class as our sun.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a multiple system.
It's got Alpha Centauri and Proxima Centauri. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, Proxima and Alpha.
Yeah.
But it's 4 light years away. So that means radio waves launched today on Earth. If you turn on the radio and you hear the new Nick Lachey song,
yeah,
that's going to be playing in Alpha Centauri 4 years from now. And if you look, since we've been broadcasting radio waves since the 30s. We have radio waves going out there for about approximately 70, 80 years. So that means that the nearest any civilization that technically, theoretically could still use a radio would be 80 light years, within 80 light years away from Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you do a star survey of the, or if you do what Carl Sagan, you know who Carl Sagan
is?
Yes,
I do. He's a famous astronomer.
Yes, he came up with this theory about how many, it's actually a formula about how much, many planets can support life, and on top of that, how many planets can support intelligent life. And one of his last factors, it's just a simple long multiplication about probabilities. One of the last factors he had in there was the ability, or how long can a civilization last without destroying itself? Hmm. You know, if civilization or if the species can get past its initial instinct to destroy each other, then there's hope. But if they can't, then there's not. Plus, there's also a lot of other random events that could go on, like supernova explosions that could wipe out whole civilizations. Although they're rare, they do happen. But if you look at the formula, the chances, like, I believe in the Milky Way galaxy, they're probably about maybe, I'd say about 10 intelligent civilizations out there that are willing to travel around, that are at the point where they can do interstellar travel.
And we're not at that point yet, of course.
Well, of course we're not. But I don't know, have you heard of Einstein's theory of relativity?
Very little about it, actually.
Essentially what it's saying is that time and space curve due to gravity around there. And Einstein also knew that there was a universal speed limit, which is the speed of light.
Yeah.
That's where the E equals MC squared equation comes
from. I've heard about that.
And but what that equation says is, as you approach the speed of light, what happens? You become infinite. Your mass becomes infinite. So if you can imagine, you're flying at the speed of light. Time for you is going normal, but time on Earth is sped up. You know, your time for you is slowed down compared to what time on Earth. And you know that creates a major problem in space travel as well. You know, if you're traveling to Alpha Centauri, for example, and you're traveling at the speed of light,
it would take
you
40
years. You 4 years to get there. But by the time you got back, you know, a lot of time had passed by on Earth, and the people you knew when you left would probably be dead.
That's what one of the things that they said in Contact actually was.
Yeah, exactly. And the Contact is actually a very scientifically accurate movie. It's based on Carl Sagan's book,
mm-hmm.
Contact. But if you do that, then you have a problem with time, you know, around you. And you also have a problem if you approach the speed of light, your mass becomes infinite. Now, obviously, if your mass becomes infinite, you've got problems because, you know, you're going to be the fattest person in the galaxy.
Yep.
You know, and it's just not possible for the human to buy and
take
that.
Yeah.
Now, Einstein's theory of relativity says that you could bend time and space around gravity, or can bend time and space.
Uh-huh.
Now, the only way that an alien civilization would be able to travel here, I believe, is if they were somehow maybe a vagabond society where they traveled on a large spaceship, kind of like you see in Independence Day.
Yeah.
And they just go from planet to planet, or they've invented some way to curve space and time where they can create a wormhole.
Really?
Yes. And Stephen Hawking has done a lot of work on this, a lot of research. He has a book called The Universe in a Nutshell, and it's very interesting. I suggest you read it. But the only way that they would be able to do that is to bend space and time.
Now, create a wormhole?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Would that involve creating a wormhole?
Yes, that's what I meant.
Okay.
Creating a wormhole.
All right.
Now, you think about the chances of a civilization within 80 light years from Earth picking up one of our radio signals,
mm-hmm.
and, you know,
actually,
getting out there, and if they can bend space and time, they could be here in no time.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to think about how many alien civilizations that Carl Sagan predicted around within the Milky Way galaxy. And if you pick his number of 10, then that's a large amount of space to cover, so...
Yeah,
you know, the chances of it being an alien in origin, I believe, are, unless they're very, been watching us for a long time,
yeah,
I believe are very, very small.
So that would explain why most of them are man-made objects.
I believe that most UFO instances are not from alien origin. I believe most of them are governments military programs trying to cover up their, you know, their programs. But they know that the public will believe it's aliens because that's the more romantic story.
Okay, Dew, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back in a few more minutes, all right?
All right.
Thank you. This is the UFM show on KUT
Student Radio, channel 66 in the dorms. KU.org, 1620 if you have like a very, very good radio, or 99.9 FM on the east side of campus. We'll be right back.
Schwarzenegger, you're listening to the UFM show on KU Student Radio, channel 66 in the dorms, 1620 AM and online at KU.org. You're also listening to the UFM show on 99.9 FM, located on the east side of campus. Yes, KU is finally on the radio, only it's DXFM. Yes, the UFM show. I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. I must get back to California.
Well, hello there. This is Billy Bob on Old I-70 down here by Richfield. I'm a frequent listener of KU Student Radio, and I wanted to promote KU, so I asked them if I could do a promo, and they said yes. Anyway, I wanted to let you know that KU is a very, very educational and valuable resource to our campus, because we got such great shows on here that you all should listen to them, especially the Best Damn Crimson shows, Monday from 4 to 6. That's a really cool show if you like sports. If you're like me, you like football. So I like sports. The Best Damn Crimson show on Monday. And if you like zany commentary by two guys, listen to Ziv and Alex on Wednesday mornings behind the blue door. It's a good show. That's from 10 to 12. And if you like getting scared out of your mind, listen Thursday night from 8 to 10. It's the UFM show. They got some of the craziest guests on there. Man, I poop my pants every time I listen to that show. But that's not all that's on KU Student Radio. There's a whole buttload of other shows that operate every single week. Just go to KU.org and check out their schedule. And believe me, you'll find something you like, because as a truck driver driving around the country 24 hours a day, I find everything enjoyable on KU Student Radio. Listen online at KU.org, UTV 66, or 1620 if you live in anywhere in around the Union. Yeah, I best be going. I'm hauling Rice Cakes down to Big D.
You know, now that the kids have all had the stomach flu from the candy they ate during Halloween, November is about giving thanks, or at least it should be. So this month, the perfect way to say thanks for any occasion would be subscribe to the official newsletter of the UFM show, the After Fart Newsletter. Think about it. While everyone's digesting the turkey and your septic tank is overflowing, wouldn't it be great to nestle back into that favorite easy chair of yours and read about your favorite show? Well, if it sounds nice to you, I'm going to be saying thanks this month by covering $100 off the subscription price.
That's right. Now you can enjoy the After Fart newsletter for only $39.99. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's the one and only After Fart newsletter, because if your turkey doesn't make you sick, we sure will.
Gosh.
Boy, our promo makers.
The UFM presents The UFO Show.
Right here on KUSTON Radio.
There you go. We're back for the second half hour of the show. I'm your host, Justin. We got Dew Bigham on the phone. He's our self-proclaimed UFO expert. Dew,
are you still there?
those are funny ones.
Thank you. I don't know. We like to promote the station any way we can. Comedy's always the best way.
Well, your promo team there is pretty creative.
Thank you. We appreciate that. But anyway, I wanted to talk to you actually about Area 51.
Okay.
If that's okay by you.
That's fine.
Now, I mentioned that they have this ultra radar system that is available. Why doesn't the general public have this technology?
Well, you mentioned it was available. It's not available to the public. They have more... the military operates on its own basis and means, so they have their own priorities there, and their priorities aren't necessarily shared with the general public, because some of the stuff they have, they don't believe the general public is ready for. You know, they just don't believe.
Really?
Oh yeah. I don't know if you heard of the Philadelphia experiment.
I actually haven't. I've heard of the Manhattan Project, but not the Philadelphia experiment.
Well, it was back in the 19, during World War, I believe it was during World War II, they tried to make a ship in Philadelphia turn invisible. And supposedly it did, and the results were so horrifying that they had half of the sailors sticking out of the ship, half of them stuck in the actual physical ship. Some of the sailors have actually fallen off in the ship when it was invisible, and they never were found again. And supposedly, get this, the ship teleported from the dock in Philadelphia to a dock in New Jersey and back within like 3 seconds.
Really? That's kind of crazy.
So, yeah, so you think about that technology, and that's back in the 1940s. And the results were so horrifying. Einstein was actually supposed to be worked on that project. But if you think about it, you know, if they have technology like that, they aren't going to share with the civilian population.
Oh yeah,
you know,
of course not.
They're not going to, you know, even a long range radar. They might use it on the battlefield, but as far as like civilian aircraft, you know, our stuff that we have right now is sufficient enough.
I was going to say it would be sufficient, like you said. But now, why go through all this effort to hide it when everybody knows it's actually there?
Well, if you tell everybody to go out there and admit it's there, then you lose your top secrecy, and you lose your secrecy of whatever you're building there, you know. You open up the door for people who work there to go out and talk about it, you know, what they've seen, and that's not they're not going to let you do that. It's because it's top secret. And they're developing. That's their future development right there for their weapons and their airplanes.
That's so cool. But why? So they're mostly. Area 51 was designed to cover up not only UFOs, right?
Yeah, it's they just do other kind of testing out there, too, not just UFOs. I'm sorry, what was that?
It's designed to cover up, like, military projects as well,
exactly.
High-tech stuff that they don't want people to know about.
Yeah, but part of these UFOs are military projects that they want to cover up.
Okay, I see. See, I was going to ask you, I know that they've recently stopped doing nuclear bomb tests. They used to have one, like, every year or every couple months. Was that...
That's true, that's true.
And why is this? Have they developed something new?
Well, for one, is they don't want to store enough nuclear waste. There's a big nuclear waste storage problem. I don't know if you've heard of Yucca Mountain, where they want to store all the radioactive waste from there. And also, Well, they've done that because there's been a lot of people complaining about nuclear weapons exploding out of the desert and the possible radiation that could throw up in the air that drifts over actually Utah and Arizona. So there's been a lot of people involved, a lot of government officials, and have tried to stop it, and they've actually succeeded, especially with the huge bomb that they were going to blow up, I believe, about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But they halted that because there was a lot of complaints. I'm sure they still do little nuclear tests out there, I believe. Now, no one knows for sure, but
yeah,
the people working in there. If you looked on Google Earth, actually, and you look up Area 51, you could actually see the craters created by the nuclear explosions that they've tested out there.
Yeah, actually, I'll have to look that up for next week's show.
I would highly suggest that Google Earth is a fun thing to do. I mean, whenever I get back to my little home, I have to look up there a lot, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's a fun book of the world.
Sorry about that. I'm trying to adjust the microphone better here. Now, do you think, I don't know if we've already covered this, but do you think there are other civilizations in this universe of ours?
Oh, I believe so. You know, if there's a million stars out there, actually billions of stars, there's also billions of galaxies. I believe that the probabilities are endless. I once had a friend when I was younger that said, well, there's a billion stars and a billion planets, and the possibilities are endless. Then there's a planet somewhere out there made out of chocolate pudding, you know. And I always thought that was kind of funny, but he's got a point. You know, if you got so many different kind of planets out there, so much stuff that we don't understand, I believe, you know, even microbial life, I believe, is teeming all over the universe. But as far as intelligent life, that's more rare.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that there are other intelligent civilizations out there.
Now,
I believe it doesn't make sense, you know, that there would be.
Now, actually, I think the one thing that about Contact, the movie, is that it said Vega actually had life on it that received our signal.
The problem with Contact is Vega is a very giant blue star.
Uh-huh.
It's a blue giant, and those are hot stars. I don't know if you know this, but blue stars are hot stars, and red stars are cooler stars, and the sun is in between. So if it was going to be on Vega, it would have to be pretty far away from the sun in order to support life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There could be planets there. I'm not sure if they've discovered them there yet, but, you know, I believe that what you need to look for is stars like the sun in the middle class of stars.
Yeah.
Because you have red giants, you have the sun, you have you have the blue giants, which are huge, the biggest stars out of them all.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you have are the other classifications of stars, like the brown dwarfs and all those other, like black holes. Or black holes aren't extra stars, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember I took a astronomy class when I was in Wyoming.
Yes.
Because the University of Wyoming has a very good observatory.
Oh, yes, they do. I think it's up on Jelm Mountain, I think.
Yeah, and they have also a smaller, outshoot of that on top of the Physical Sciences Building on the campus of the University of Wyoming. And
yes,
one of our classes, my astronomy class, actually allowed you to go up on that roof and look at telescopes. They had three very, very good telescopes set up in a row, and we were allowed to look through them and stuff, and we were looking up... It was in the spring, so we were looking at the spring sky, like things like the Pleiades and stuff like that. It's really interesting. They've got a really good department there. I wish the University of Utah had something like that, but of course you've got light pollution here. So.
Oh yeah. Well, I don't know if you've heard of a town called Flagstaff, Arizona. But they have the Hubble Observatory down there, and that's where they discovered Pluto. And the city of Flagstaff has a light ordinance where you have to have lights of a certain brightness and it shine down at a certain angle.
Hmm.
If you've ever been to Flagstaff at night, actually the sky, you can actually see the night sky. There's hardly any light pollution in this town.
In Flagstaff?
In Flagstaff.
Uh-huh. Really? I was actually going to tell you, I just did a quick Google, and I found there's a classification system. I remember this. They're labeled like alphabetically, but not in alphabetical order, of course. They go O, B, A, F, G, K, and M. M being the very dim stars, and O and B being the very hot, bright ones, like the supergiants.
Oh, I believe that's true.
Yeah. And our sun itself is a G-type star.
Yep.
So it's right in the middle.
Right. And you would want to have a star, type G star. So if you did a survey of the night sky, and you counted all the type of G stars, and then you had all the ones with planets, then you, and you know, all the planets have to be a certain distance away from the star too, because one thing that scientists on Earth believe is that the most important thing for life to thrive is water.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that be carbon-based life forms or sulfur-based life forms like they have on the bottom. Would have to form at a certain distance away from a star in order to be liquid. Otherwise, it'd be, if you got too close, it would evaporate, and it would you'd get a Venus-like situation where it'd either go out into space, or it would just be like a hot, sweltering, you know, mess that Venus is.
And it says here most stars, including the Sun, are fueled by what's called nuclear fusion, converting hydrogen into helium.
Yep.
So that's interesting.
Very interesting.
It's been so long since I've had that astronomy class. But that was that. I agree. If there's any astronomy class on this campus, I would like to know about it because I would take it. It's really interesting subject.
You just look up on the internet or you look up on the curriculum, and that should have them right there.
And I want to ask all of my listeners out there also to send me Fast Flatch about this. If you have any information you want to ask Dew or any questions for him, you can send us your Fast Flatches through myspace.com/theUFM. That's our new that's our new MySpace page. You can surf around it and add us a comment or whatnot. But that's it, myspace.com/theUFM. So if you're listening out there, send us a Fast Flatch. We'll read it on air. And Dew, you can answer these, right? I can.
Oh yeah,
you'll be able to answer those.
I can at least try.
Yeah, and we all have some hard questions too. If you have some hard questions, we'll see if we can stump you. But I want to get back to the UFOs. Since you said that there, you believe there are other. No. I want to digress, and I want to ask you a question about what is your opinion of these movies like Contact and Independence Day? I mean, they're two different movies, but what's your general opinion?
As far as Contact goes, I believe that it's realistic up to the point where they build a time machine from the aliens and they actually travel. You know, I believe Carl Sagan was a very imaginative person in his time, and I read his books when I was little. I read his book, The Cosmos,
mm-hmm.
which is it doesn't just talk about space. It talks about life or evolution. It talks about stars. It talks about like almost everything. It's a really good book. I would recommend that one too. But I believe the fiction part of Contact, where Jodie Foster's character gets into that machine and she's teleported, there's still a lot of scientific fact about that.
Oh, yeah.
Where she records actual, you know, so many hours of static when she was only disappeared for a second.
Yeah.
But kind of what happens is, like, you know, that's the disruption of space-time right there, where you could travel through a wormhole. Technically, if you travel through a wormhole, you could travel to one place, you could travel back, and you could be there, you know, if you could kind of travel back in time, actually, you know. It's kind of weird, but I believe it, the one part, you know, it's a very good story, but I believe some of it, like the aliens on Vega, kind of unrealistic. Now, Independence Day, that's a different approach, and that would assume that the aliens would be hostile. And as far as we know, there could be hostile aliens out there. There could be aliens that move from planet to planet because they stripped all the resources from their own and they became a vagabond society. Now, that would require a lot of knowledge on space travel. They'd have to probably warp space and time because space is such a large distance, you know.
Yeah.
If you're traveling 80 light years away to a new planet, you know, and your life expectancy is around 80, then half your people are going to be dead by the time you get there.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really travel at the speed of light, so you have to do it some other way.
Yeah, unless you're an extremely advanced civilization who's found a way around that.
You'd have to find some way around the speed of light.
Okay, and that actually, Independence Day relates to my next question. Why do we as human beings have a tendency to consider aliens to be hostile?
Well, if you remember the movie War of the Worlds,
uh-huh.
I'm not talking about the new Steven Spielberg War of the Worlds, but the original one.
I've actually never seen the original.
Well, if you heard of the radio broadcast,
yeah.
I believe it was
Orson Welles, yes. in 1930s.
The radio broadcast. And he actually had people believing in the aliens invading on his radio program. They had a disclaimer at the beginning of the program stating that this was just a radio program, but a lot of people had tuned in afterwards and thought that it was actually real, and it created a mass hysteria. Now, you have to put that in the context of what time that happened. You know, you had Roswell happening, you had the Cold War with Russia going on, so you have to consider people's mindsets when you're talking about that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of fear in the air right then, and people would buy into more fear easier because they were afraid of the Russians, they were afraid of Sputnik in the air, they were afraid of all kinds of things, so...
So it was basically just fear that they were playing upon.
And, yeah, you know, to make aliens that were hostile, and Hollywood has a lot of responsibility for creating hostile aliens, too, but that doesn't mean that there's the possibility for, you know, an alien-type species out there, like the movie Aliens, where, you know, they're not necessarily able to speak or talk, but somehow they... are a species that are successful at reproducing and, you know...
doing what they do, yeah, killing people.
if you have a species like that, you can, you know, they don't necessarily have to be intelligent. They could take over other planets accidentally by intelligent species spreading those around, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Have you studied the Phoenix Lights incident of the late 1990s?
I have, actually.
Because that's one I remember actually watching on TV and hearing about.
Yeah. And Phoenix, if you've ever been to Phoenix, it's a huge, huge city. There's a lot of urban sprawl, and it's getting bigger and bigger all the time. And but they have a Luke Air Force Base out there, which is in the city limits. It's near Avondale, and what I believe those were is some people have said that those were flares. And if you look at them in a videotape, you can kind of see why, but the problem I have with that is they stay up in the air too long. Unless there were some kind of flare that has a self-propulsion system that lasts long.
Yeah, which would have no use. You know, why would you do that?
Well, if you're in the battlefield and you need to light up...
I know, but I'm just saying, like, why would you do that over a big city?
Well, to test out and see how the public reacts. I mean, you use the public as your guinea pigs to see how they react.
Well, I guess that's good enough. Yeah.
It's all about what the reaction is, how many people call it, and of course they denied it.
Oh yeah,
Luke Air Force Base denied it that was going on. And I've actually been down in Phoenix recently, last year, or no, it was earlier this year. I was there doing some research with some of my buddies, and up in the night sky, they had these helicopters flying around.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the distance, they looked like a constellation. And they all had these kind of red lights shining out in front. It wasn't a typical white light. It was a red light. And, me and my friends were actually in a small parking lot. We were walking out. We just actually seen a movie. We were taking a break from research. And we walked out. We looked up in the sky, and we saw this formation of lights coming towards us. And I'm like, at first I thought, well, maybe that's the Phoenix Lights. And what had happened, it had come up close to us. And as it got closer, I could tell it was a helicopter. But the thing was, these helicopters must have been some kind of stealth helicopters, because I couldn't hear any of the choppers.
Could you hold on for just a second? I hear something outside. It's really strange noise. Whew. Okay, so it was somebody outside cleaning. I don't know.
You think it was a UFO?
Yeah, there was something strange. It was like a big flash of light up here.
Oh.
I don't know if you heard that sound either, because I was going, whoa.
I couldn't hear the sound.
You'll just have to listen to the archives. You know where our archives are at, right?
Oh, I don't.
They're actually at www.ubstudios.com, and there's a link on the main page underneath Media Center. And you can, if you want to listen to yourself talking, I don't know if you want to do that, but.
Well, I've heard myself talking before, so I imagine I can listen to myself again. but anyway, back to the Phoenix Lights thing.
Yeah.
What I saw that night was not a UFO, it was a helicopter, but it was something that I'd never really seen. It was a helicopter that was completely silent, and that was really weird. Kind of a foul smell out here in the field. I think there's a dead coyote over this hill.
It could be a cow, like a one of those cow mutilations.
Oh, that's a good, interesting you brought that up, because I believe a lot of those are actually the military experimenting with lasers on living creatures. You know.
I was going to actually ask you about that.
Star Wars, you know, you got laser sitting out.
So, you know, it is well known that the medical field actually uses lasers too, don't they?
Oh, yes, they do. Got laser eye surgery.
Like laser eye surgery, exactly. Oh. And they can do all sorts of incisions with these things.
Exactly.
Is that what this is?
I tend to believe that. I believe that they might attach some kind of new laser thing that they've been inventing to a, maybe to a stealth helicopter. And then they fly around and they mutilate cows to see what the effects are.
I actually just got a fast flash. It says, I'm wanting to listen to the show, but I'm having trouble listening to it.
Oh, you have streaming capabilities, don't you? Oh.
Okay, she's got it. She has it. She's listening to the show now. I just got another flash flash that she said she got.
Oh, okay.
Okay, thank you for listening, by the way. We appreciate your listening. Anyway, so you think that cow mutilations are not aliens at all? It has nothing to do with paranormal?
No. Why would an alien want to come down here, travel millions of light years, just to dissect a cow? Think about it.
Yeah, there's just no reason. I was going to ask you actually about alien abduction. I might have to do that right now, since we're on that topic. What could be a possible explanation for people getting abducted? Is it just all made up?
I believe a lot of alien abductions are kind of false. They're made up. They're not necessarily made up. Or they could be like a dream or what they call a night terror. Or what has happened was the person who has experienced the abduction was molested when they were younger or something. There have been a lot of cases where they've found that people who were abducted or claimed to be abducted were molested.
Interesting.
When they were young.
That is.
Now, I don't know if you've heard the story called Fire in the Sky.
Oh, yeah, I was going to actually ask you about that.
In Arizona, actually, over in the White Mountains, which is over by the New Mexico border. But as far as that case goes, that is one of the more unexplained cases. You actually have physical evidence of something going on there that seems quite outwardly to the person who was abducted.
And they have like multiple witnesses, don't they?
Yeah, you have multiple witnesses as well, you know. That one is pretty much unexplained. I don't believe necessarily it was alien beings. It might have been humans, maybe from the future, who knows, doing experiments on somebody.
I've come to believe, though, that time travel is just not possible.
Well, if you do travel the speed of light, like I said earlier, time slows down for you, and you come back, you can travel in the future. Now, the past is the trickier one, but you just wait till some smart scientist comes along and, you know, you never know.
Hold on a second. I just saw that brief flash in the. It was outside now. That's really scary. What's going
police
on
car?
Here?
Did you say it was a police car?
I don't know what's causing it. It's not from down below. It looks like it's from on the roof or something.
I think someone's messing with you.
I don't know. Okay, but we got to go to break here, actually. We are on the break point. So I'm actually going to try to get Troy Hess on the phone, and we're going to answer the rest of these questions. So you stay right there, Do.
Oh.
And I want everybody who is listening, actually, to send us a fast flash and tell us what you think or tell us any questions for Do.
If you have any UFO sighting stories, let them say that, too. Interested to hear.
We would love to hear UFO stories, too. We're going to open up the lines like the last half hour of the show or so.
All right.
For you to call. And, okay, Do, we're going to be right back in a few minutes. It's the top of the hour. So, stay right there. Okay, hold on. There we go.
We'll be right back. never thought I would be. At 23, on the verge of spontaneous combustion, woe is me. But I guess that it comes with the territory, an ominous landscape of never-ending calamity. I need you to hear, I need you to see. But I am half, I can take an exploding, seems like an evident possibility. Tell me. I was having a look in a book and I saw a picture of a guy right up above his knee. I said I can relate, cause lately I've been thinking of combustion as a welcome vacation from the burdens of the planet Earth. Do I gotta eat hypocrisy and the perils of being empty? By thinking so much takes my head.
Incubus and Pardon Me. Pardon Me. Well, I burst. Okay.
The UFM presents the UFO show.
Right here on KUSTIN Radio.
Okay. Anyway, I am really apologize. I really have to apologize. Trey Hess, not Tra. I had it written down wrong. Sorry about that. You there with us, Trey?
I'm with you. What's going on tonight?
We were talking about UFOs.
Great.
So you are a ham radio operator, right, in Las Vegas?
That is true.
What else do you do as your profession?
I'm a professional poker player.
Okay.
So I have a lot of free time, and that's why I am a ham operator in my spare time, and I also do a lot of research on Area 51.
Really? So yeah. We were talking to earlier about that, and... what do you think, why do you think, I want to get your opinion on this, why do you think Area 51 exists even?
Well, it was initially intended to be a site where the United States government tested secret aircraft, all terrestrial, but after 1947 when the UFO crashed in New Mexico, reports have been abound of UFO flying saucer type craft being seen in the area. So, while it was originally intended to be for secret testing of aircraft, the UFO mystery kind of got wound in after this crash that occurred in New Mexico.
Okay. So it's like, is it used specifically for cover-ups and stuff like that? So nothing else?
That's what people would claim. there's definitely testing going on there, like the stealth fighter, the F-117, and the B-2 stealth bomber.
We're really?
All tested there.
Okay, so this question is next for the both of you guys, and what is your opinion of the Roswell incident? Do you really think it was either a weather balloon, or was it really an alien visiting our planet? You guys there?
Well, I'm here.
I'll let you take that one.
Well, I tend to believe that it wasn't. I told you earlier that I don't believe that UFOs are of alien origin. I believe that most of them are, government activities going on to cover up what's going on. So I believe that the Roswell was staged. It was a complete mock-up. Someone went out there and spread out all the debris, maybe a couple cold dummy bodies, and they made it look like a UFO crash. Then from then on, they use that to be cover up their UFOs. Oh, did you hear that?
Yeah, what was that?
Well, I heard something in the distance.
Okay.
That was weird. Sound like a giant cat.
Okay.
Sound like a mountain lion almost. Whoa.
So what is your opinion about the Roswell incident, Trey?
I definitely think it's real. I believe that the United States government took the technology that we got from the crash at Roswell and we used it to create our computers and things we have today, not to mention all the advances in aircraft that we've made since the 1950s and 60s.
Hmm. So it was basically just to get things started in development.
I think what we did is we somehow got lucky and got this crash, and we used the technology, we back-engineered it, and we figured out exactly what this stuff does.
So
to our benefit.
So you believe this actually was an alien craft?
Absolutely.
Really?
Oh, I don't tend to agree with them there, but I do believe that they used it for covering up all their future advanced technologies that we have happened to luckily engineer ourselves somehow.
Hmm.
But, oh, there's that door again.
Oh, anyway, I don't know if you guys listen to the program Coast to Coast AM.
I've actually heard of it before, yeah.
I've listened to it before.
Okay, but recently they had a British media guy. He came on, he did an interview, and he published an article in one of the most top papers in Britain, in the United Kingdom, that was talking about how London is supposed to become under attack by aliens at any minute. I don't know if you guys heard anything about this.
I haven't read that article, actually.
I've not either. That's interesting.
But, yeah, he actually came on Coast to Coast AM when they were talking about it. It was Art Bell was on that night, so he was from the Philippines. But he was talking about this, and the guy called in, and they put him on air, and he was explaining why he thinks this and everything, and he just said
that... Well, why exactly does he think that they're going to be attacking London?
He says this because there's been an increasing number of UFO sightings in particularly the United Kingdom. So
might have something to do with the situation in our governments lately.
That could be true.
A lot of hostilities, and maybe the aliens are trying to check on us and make sure we don't screw anything up or launch any nuclear weapons or anything like that.
That's a good point. But anyway, I just wanted to get your guys' take on that. Do you guys know what SETI is, actually, the Search for Terrestrial Intelligence, SETI?
Yes.
SETI? Yeah, yes, I have.
And do any of you endorse this? Do both of you endorse this?
I definitely endorse it. I believe a lot of the work takes place at the satellite dish that they have down in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
That's the major listening device. But I've also heard things, like, they have heard things and they have covered them up.
Interesting.
Well, I have to admit, you know, I know I sounded really pessimistic about aliens earlier, but I do appreciate their effort at SETI to at least try to discern maybe alien signals, because it's more likely that we'd pick up them than they'd pick us up. So I do applaud their efforts. Whoa.
Sounds like you got a little gas there. Did you eat at the Herod Center tonight? Because I don't know.
No, I just, that was something off in the distance.
Oh, okay. But anyway, my question about SETI was, have they ever come up with anything significant that they can't explain?
I believe that they have, and I don't believe that they've actually shared it with the Americans.
Yeah, that would probably not be.
I kind of think that I've heard of one time that they did get some weird kind of spike signal that was it was very brief. It was like for maybe 10 minutes or something. They did get some kind of signal. And they turned the dish away to see if they lost it. They did lose it. And they turned the dish back and they got it again. And then it just kind of stopped. They couldn't really discern it or whatever, but it was I think there was one time in SETI's history where they did pick up something that was really strange, but it was so short that they were never able to confirm it.
Hmm. And I would like, actually, if any of our listeners know about this, I want you to send us a link on that on our MySpace page, myspace.com/theUFM, if you're just joining us. That's our new MySpace page specifically for the show. That's myspace.com/theUFM, and you can also send us questions or comments or whatnot, and we'll try to read them on the air. And I just recently, guys, this is a question for both of you. I recently watched a terrible movie in which an alien intelligence captured the Voyager 1 or 2, I can't remember which one it was, I think it was Voyager 2, and learned about our civilization and came to our planet. The movie, I think, was called Starman.
Oh.
It stars Jeff Bridges.
Oh, yes, yeah, I've seen that one before.
Would an alien species likely to be able to decipher what is carried aboard either of the spacecraft?
Well, that would be pretty difficult to do. You'd have to do it in something that's universal, which is mathematics, because, you know, you have different languages everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that's common between all the languages and all the civilizations is mathematics, so you'd have to somehow speak in mathematics in order for it to work.
Hmm. What do you think about this, Trey?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Okay, the question was, would an alien species be able to interpret what we put aboard Voyager 1 and Voyager 2? I don't know if you know what we put aboard those spacecraft.
Well, actually, there was a couple of microchips
many
years back that were sent to space, and they had like lots of people's names on them. Actually, my name was on there.
That was on the Stardust.
Oh. Yes, the Stardust.
I take that back, NEAR, the one that went next to the asteroid and returned, or the comet and collected dust and returned.
Did that one fail? I think that one failed, didn't it?
I think the Stardust failed.
No, the Stardust is the one that came in over the Utah test range.
Oh, well, then I'll get those two confused.
Well, anyways, it would be debatable. It's just like if we received something from space that was not something that we had ever seen before. It had, like, little maybe hieroglyphs or something on it, and we couldn't interpret it. And who's to say that aliens know English? Or any other language that we use here on Earth.
Huh. Yeah, I was kind of figuring that would be kind of, that was one of the movie's plot holes, or it was kind of flawed. It was a factual error in that movie. And that movie wasn't all that great. Jeff Bridges really was stiff in that movie. I don't know if you've seen the movie Starman.
Well, he was an alien, so he wasn't going to act human. Like, he was an alien.
I know, but I couldn't stand it. It was just too much. I think it was overacting.
It wasn't the part where he was walking around naked, was it?
No, not that part. It was actually the entire movie that I didn't like. I thought the story was kind of weak, but I do like the meteor crater part at the end. I don't know if you remember that.
Well, there it is again. You hear that?
I heard that one. Did
like
you hear that?
To me.
It's off to the deuces. It sounds like a mountain lion.
That's really loud.
God, that's good. It must be a pretty big mountain lion. Well, my crew right now get kind of scared.
Huh. I heard that. That's really loud. Did you hear that, Trey?
It sounded like a house cat to me, actually.
Well I'm have to remember, Dew right is out in the field.
Maybe it was a mountain lion then.
Oh, okay. And he's interesting. But I don't know if you remember that meteor crater part in the movie Starman, the end of that.
Oh, I do. I've been to meteor crater myself.
I actually like the end of it. The end of it was okay. The rest of the movie was terrible, but the ending was fine. I've been to Meteor Crater myself, too, and I've been to Flagstaff. I've been to Sunset Crater, all those areas around there, and I like Arizona. So, on top of that, I've been to the Grand Canyon. Where would I most likely be able to see a UFO? Are there any hot spots or certain places that I could go?
apparently London's a, or England's a pretty hot spot right now.
Yeah.
He is a great attack, so.
Yeah, according to that guy, I don't know if I believe him or not.
Actually, Las Vegas and Area 51 are big hot spots for seeing unidentified flying objects.
Mm-hmm.
But, places in southern California, there's a lot of military bases out there, too, near Palm Springs there. You could see UFOs out there, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I've heard a lot of stories about UFOs out there.
Here in Utah, we seem to have a lot of air traffic. Do you think people confuse regular objects with UFOs?
Oh, yeah.
All the time. Okay. That's what I was just wondering, because I've seen so many planes around the city at night in particular, and some of them look like UFOs, but there's just, I just don't believe it. I don't believe any of them are UFOs. It's kind of hard for that to happen, I guess. I don't know. I was talking to Dube earlier about space travel and all that kind of thing, and how, if it would be possible, do you guys believe that it will be likely that humans will travel to distant stars and planets in the future?
I definitely believe it's possible. We just have to get the technology to be able to do that, or maybe we have the technology and we can do that, it's just the government's not sharing that with us. I tend to agree with you there, Trey. I also think that, you know, we have to survive ourselves first. You know, we got so many wars going on in the world today. If we don't destroy ourselves first, then we're able to put up past our petty differences, and yeah, maybe we will be able to travel different stars. But right now, the way it looks, you know, even with our most advanced propulsion systems, it's still a long ways to go to Alpha Centauri.
Yeah. But are there other possibilities other than Alpha Centauri that we could go to?
Well, there's plenty. There's 1 billion trillion stars up there. There's a sextillion, actually. There's something going on in there? What's going on here? Oh, there's this weird smell out here in the desert.
Is it just rain or something?
No, it smells like a carcass somewhere. Can't seem to find it.
What do you actually do? I don't know if you mind me asking, but what are you actually doing out in the field right now?
Well, we're doing UFO research. I got my team out here, and we're just kind of like, I'm sitting on a chair right now, but they're like kind of walking around, and every once in a while we'll get up and move a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of behind these bridges, and we're trying to have some people go over and see if they could see anything, but we're just waiting right now.
But you can't give away your location.
No, I can't.
Okay, this question is for both of you. There is significant evidence on video in particular. How easy would it be to fake the videos, do you think?
Well, just happens to be, if you're at the right place at the right time and you catch something, then, did you ask how easy is it to fake something?
Yeah, how easy would it be to fake it? Yeah, a video.
I think it'd be pretty easy to fake something with the computer technology that we have these days, but a lot of the videos that we do have come from, like, the 60s and 70s when that technology wasn't available.
Yeah, well, that's really interesting, too.
Look at, like, the sightings over Mexico City in the past 5 years. Hundreds of thousands of people have seen these UFOs from different angles, and they all say what they saw was unexplained.
Interesting. Well, actually, guys, I have run out of questions, so, yeah.
Let's take some phone calls if we could.
Yeah. Okay, you guys are going to have to hang up because we only have one line, though.
That's all right.
Okay.
That's fine. Well, we can add. You have I have a computer here that's hooked up to a satellite phone too. I could take. I think I have Yahoo Messenger on there. I could take phone calls on.
Yeah,
that.
I do actually.
I'll have to figure out some way how to listen to you guys though. I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah. Does it have an internet? If it has Yahoo, it probably has an internet connection, right?
Well, I don't know how good the speakers are on it, but.
Okay. But
I'll mess around with it.
We would like to take some calls now. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we'll take your calls on this subject, on the UFO subject. If you have any stories, if you have any comments, any questions for Dew, I'm sure he can try his best to answer those. Or Trey. Trey, I actually wanted to know, have you, since you're a radio operator, a ham radio operator, have you ever encountered any strange radio frequencies?
I have many times. The radio signals that I receive sometimes are Morse code, sometimes they're voices, but other times they're just things that I cannot explain. And I often wonder if they're coming from distant planets, but
And you know it would take forever to get here, though. It would take light years.
You'll hear weird noises, and you're wondering if HARP is making them or if something else is making them.
Mm-hmm.
But
what do you mean? What are you talking about, HARP?
Well, HARP is a big deal for us ham radio operators.
Could you
hear
explain
the
that?
From it a lot. We know
what is HARP?
HARP is the United States Navy's attempt to kill all whale life off in the ocean. It's actually...
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
It's not really meant to do that, but that's what it actually does. It's meant to track North Korean subs as they approach the west coast of the United States.
Interesting. So that causes interference at those frequencies?
They are blasting high-frequency waves through the ocean to try to...
How could you pick that up on a ham radio?
The frequencies often leave the ocean and go up into the air, and they mess with our ham radio frequencies.
It depends actually on the frequency you have, too. The lower the frequency, the more chances are that wave is going to bend. It's like AM radio. So.
Interesting.
So I don't know if you've heard of a hobby called DXing. Have you heard of that?
I have heard of a hobby called DXing, actually, and I'm a big proponent of it.
I was actually do you have you heard of DXing, too?
I do a little bit. It's more ham DXing. I'm trying to find people all over the world that I can actually talk to.
Actually, I was actually going to ask Dew, though. Dew,
oh. I know that there are societies out there that what they do is they place a little tracker across somewhere in town, and they have these radio devices that they hone in on it, and they drive all around town looking for it. It's kind of like a treasure hunt, only with radios. But I think I've heard of people trying to like pick up AM stations from far away or something like that. But, you know, I'll say I'm from the southwest part of the United States, and I can hear a lot of stations from Mexico whenever I turn on my AM radio. So I guess that's DXing.
Yep, that's technically what it is. But I was at Trey. So you've picked up radio. Have you heard of this broadband over power lines?
I have heard about that.
And do you know what implications that could have if it was activated?
Absolutely. That could affect all the signals that we have going through the air, including cell phones, which they don't seem to mention. But it's basically cable running through every outlet, every electrical current that's being flowed through the country.
Okay. All right. My headphones just popped out, so I'll hold on a second. Man, there's chaos in the studio. There's ghosts causing my headphones to pop out here and strange noises that I can't explain. So, anyway, yeah, we're going to go take some calls. We got to get to a break really quick. But we will be back. Thank you guys for being on the show. I really appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome.
I hope
you'll be on here anytime.
And I hope you guys...
I'm in Vegas. Give me a call.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be in Vegas tomorrow.
Oh, so, great.
Yeah, I'll have to catch up with you on that.
Yeah,
thank you. Oh, my God. There's something up in the air.
Oh, my gosh.
What is that?
What's
going
on?
What is that, guys? What is that?
I don't know. Is
it? You got a sighting?
I'm seeing something up there. It's like going really slow, and it's kind of turning in a semicircular arc across the sky. It's not making any sounds because it looks like it's pretty big, but it's far away.
Oh, I wish you could tell us where you're at because that would be really cool.
I can't give that location away, but holy, oh my God, guys, take a picture.
Are you in the United States? Are you in the United States, dude?
Billy, I'm in the southwest United States. Billy,
okay.
Take a picture.
Do you have a video camera as well?
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, Roger, get away with the camera. Roger.
Well, that's how that satellite phone of yours has got really good quality. I can't hear any. What? Hello, Dew? Are you still there? Dew?
What?
Dew, oh my gosh, this is scary.
What's going on with him?
I don't know. Dew, are you there?
I think we might have lost him.
Yeah, I think we have. Okay, we're gonna have to cut you guys off, okay? We're gonna take some phone calls right now.
Thank you for calling in. We really appreciate that. It's really strange. I hope he gets his phone line fixed.
I can take calls.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if Dude's going to be back on in time, so. Okay. All right. Thank you for calling, Trey.
All right.
Have a good night. And respond to our things. Okay.
Wow, we're going to have to take a break. That was really scary. What happened there?
You, from the makers of Head On, Ask On, apply directly to your butt. Ask On, apply directly to your butt. Ask On, apply directly to your butt. Ask On is a specialized formula that makes your ass go away. Ask On, apply directly to your butt.
Are you tired of walking down the street and hearing nothing but this? Coming from cars and from buildings and everywhere? Well, you need the new Mega Super Arm so you can beat all those people into submission. Tell them to turn down their damn music. That's right, because rap sucks, and you know it.
Paid for by the Coalition of People Against Stupid People Who Blast Music in Their Cars and in Their Homes. It's just not smart, people.
You know, sometimes, dear listeners, I worry about my health as a young man, and that's why I decided to take this all-new Cold Flash formula with zinc to help keep me going while on the air. Cold Flash is a natural zinc formula formulated to keep me going strong every day and prevent the onsets of such pests as the flu and the common cold. It also helps keep me stay regular with a natural non-habit-forming laxative built right in. Plus, Cold Flash has a sleep regulator which makes my sleeping habits run perfectly with my school schedule and the show schedule. So if you're ready to feel better all over, I recommend you try Cold Flash. From the makers of Ultralax. Yes, Cold Flash. Available only by dialing 1-800-KANG-RU. That's 1-800-KANG-RU.
These commercials are not actual advertisements and are 100% fake. You should not believe in them at all. I talk really, really fast so you can't understand me. Ha ha ha. Be sure to talk to your doctor before taking Cold Flash as it may cause such side effects as uncontrollable bowel movements, voice cracking even though puberty is already over with, a strong urge to beat a cat, a desire to drive somewhere, or a loss of sleep or nausea and vomiting profusely.
1620, Channel 66, KU.org, and DXFM 99.9.
Thank you.
Okay. A little bit of Radiohead for you, subterranean homesick alien. How appropriate. Anyway, it's the last half hour of the show. It's time for you to call in. The number to call in is 801-585-3449. That is 801-585-3449. Wow. YouTube is a popular site for, you know, of course, all sorts of videos, but there are a number of UFO sightings that have actually been uploaded to YouTube. And it is really interesting to see and to prove these wrong sometimes. There's one that was submitted during the Afghanistan war, and it looks like a UFO hovering right above the camera, right before a missile's coming down. You're watching a missile, and you see this UFO hovering around. What's really strange about it is it definitely looks like a civilian aircraft flying around these houses before a missile hits. So I don't know how you explain that one. There's ones of a UFO flying around an apartment complex that looks pretty cool. And if you just go on YouTube right now and search for UFOs, you're likely to see a lot of these. I just got a link about a satellite. I'm not sure what this is about. It's a Navy satellite, Navy Oscar 44 satellite, also known as PCSAT. It's a Navy Academy amateur radio satellite. Okay. Trey might know about this one, PCSAT 2 and PCSAT 1. It's actually used for amateur radio. That's interesting. I actually knew that there were satellites that link up ham radios. So, cool. And also, I would like to know if there's any ham radio operators listening tonight. That would be really cool on the show. Give us a call, 801-585-3449. Tell us your UFO stories. Tell us anything. That's cool. PCSAT. It's over right now. It's over the Atlantic Ocean. So, pretty cool. And there's a number of satellites that operate on the ham radio.
Good evening, you're on the UFM show.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing? I've been listening to your show.
Pretty good.
Hey, I've got a couple stories here.
All right, go ahead and tell us.
Whoa!
You okay, sir?
Yeah, I almost fell off the chair.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Please, sir, please turn down your radio.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that. Hold on. Milo, sit down. Bad cat.
You have a cat named Milo?
Yeah.
I do too, actually.
Yeah, he's in this room and he's a real pain in the ass, kind of.
Is he a orange cat?
Yeah, he actually is. Yeah, he's a...
That's cool.
You call him a tabby.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But anyways, I have a couple stories.
Okay.
Couple ones, are kind of what I've experienced and true, okay?
Uh-huh.
And the other ones are kind of what I'm from hearsay, you know, and it involves my family, but I'm not quite sure yet.
Okay, go ahead and tell us.
But anyways, the first one that I really believe happened to me and that I've experienced in my life and about, we talk about UFOs and everything like that, is happened probably back in the 1990s, and this happened about in Casper, Wyoming.
Really?
And we have a porch that faces out back towards Casper Mountain. We usually have a typical habit of sitting out there during the summers and, you know, looking up at the skies and the stars, looking for meteors.
Really?
And all that kind of stuff at night. So anyway, there were about, I think about three of us out there. It was my son and, actually it was both of my sons. And we were out there and the lights were off on the porch and we were looking out towards the east and I cannot to this day explain it, but it was like a quick flash in front of my eyes, what I swear to see that I saw actually, was like three egg-shaped globules. To me they were like camouflaged. They were clear. It was like you could see through them, but they were egg-shaped, and they were big, and they were going really fast. Across, it was like above the houses in front of me. I want to maybe say 300 yards in front of me.
Hmm.
And it was egg-shaped. And what I didn't say anything to my kids or anything like that, but to me what it looked like is inside these egg-shaped kind of camouflage clear globule things, I thought that I saw was like a control system in there with what I thought to be at the time, if you wanted to call it, say, a pilot.
Hmm.
But this was something that happened so fast, it flew from south to north, cut across there. It wasn't geese. It didn't have any glows or anything like that. But they were all grouped together. It was almost if they were on top of each other, and they flew back. And then when I asked if anybody else had seen it, and sure enough, my kids had said that they had also seen something that flew back, flew past from south to north really fast. It was also kind of a clear, I want to say globule again,
mm-hmm.
kind of craft just flying, and it was in threes, and it flew, like I say, from south to north.
Interesting.
So I could never explain that, but the thing that I think that I find kind of odd kind of like that I wasn't necessarily out of my mind, this is when I talked to the two other people, meaning my sons, that they also had verified that that's exactly what they saw.
So you have three people who saw the same exact thing.
Right, myself and my two sons.
That's really scary.
Yeah, well, it was at the time, and we just, you know, for these years, we've just contemplated what the heck that could have been. And,
yeah.
You know, you read in books and things that people sometimes see that.
I don't know.
Go ahead, sir.
I don't know. I've never heard any calls like that. That's any stories like that. I've never heard it like that one.
I've heard of that sometimes, and I started reading literature about UFOs when I was in high school, so it was like in the 70s.
Hmm.
And that's kind of some of the descriptions that I've seen in the past. But like I say, it was sincere, it was real. I know I saw it. It wasn't anything that I could explain with geese or reflections from a car. Anything like that, and it went by really fast. The second instance that I thought was kind of strange is our family, part of my sister had a farm out there in central Illinois. It was probably down there. It was actually was down there by street, not probably.
Hmm.
But we have a habit of making campfires out there at night, and we happened to be sitting out there at night in the fall. And we usually look up again towards the stars and look at the satellites and, you know, looking for meteors and things like that.
Yeah.
It was probably about 12 o'clock at night. We were looking up there. As usual, we kind of usually talk about kind of stuff like space and UFOs and other civilizations. And it was probably about, maybe 12:30. We see this. I'd say probably up to me where we were seeing the satellites, about that distance or that height in the sky there, a formation of about three triangular shapes, and they went by extremely fast.
Hmm.
Again, it's something that I couldn't explain. Now, you know, we talk about, I think you had an expert on there, I can't remember what his name was. Dew Bigham, but I kind of almost believe in him. I think sometimes some of those things are probably government. I think they're human-made, but it fits some of the probably newest triangular-shaped aircraft that the United States probably has.
Hmm.
But, I mean, it was up there. I would have to say it level with what we were seeing as satellites.
Interesting.
That was a pretty real. Again, we couldn't really explain it. The third one is I have a son, and he's 26 years old, and he's an outdoors kind of a guy. You know, he's a skinny little guy and
mm-hmm.
kind of a little guy, and
yeah.
But he went camping one time with his buddies out there in Wyoming.
Really?
And he tells me this story of, you know, that they had been seeing these lights over this lake where they were camping at. I believe it's up by Meek's Cabin.
I know where that's at, actually.
You've been there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice little place. It's pretty isolated out there in southwestern
Wyoming. Yeah.
And he was camping out there, and they've been seeing lights throughout the night, along with the meteors that they've been looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, he was telling me that, I don't know if I believe this, but anyways, he might have been dreaming or drinking, I don't know. Kind of a squirrely little guy.
Yeah.
But anyways, he was telling me that he had had a dream. You know, you were talking earlier about abductions.
Mm-hmm.
But he was telling me that he had had this dream that there was this bright light in front of the tent when they were camping out there.
Hmm.
And that he was kind of pulled up into the craft. Now, he didn't, you know, he tried not to explain a lot about it because he was kind of embarrassed about it, but
huh.
I kind of almost think, you know, what he was trying to indicate, I think he was probed. But, again, you know, we don't know what that's for or why or
yeah.
whatever.
I honestly can't explain abductions either. It's a hard thing to explain.
Yeah, I don't know if it's in the psyche that you wishing that.
Yeah.
Or what, you know? So that's actually the third story. The other one was back, four stories that I have. This is back when I was in high school, and this is again kind of more of a true story because this happened to me. Again, this is in secondhand.
Hmm.
But we used to camp a lot. We camped up there one time up there in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and you know, we went to bed late after campfire, and this was by a lake and all this kind of stuff, and it's one of them Apache tent trailers where you can roll down the sides of the tent, and I just happened to be looking out there, probably about, again, this was pretty late, 12:30, maybe even 1 o'clock, and again, I don't know if it was my imagination, but I could swear that as I looked towards the lake and over the trees, I could see this disc-shaped object going to the, it was pretty much to the south over the lake, and it had colors on it, and it had the red, blue, and colors on it. And all I remember is going to sleep and then being kind of afraid, obviously, of somebody walking up to the tent like an alien looking in, but... that's a true story, but the colors, I'll never forget it that night.
Hmm. Interesting yeah. stories.
Yep, so that's what I got to say. I kind of think that there's both. I kind of believe that there's that the government is probably got craft, and I also believe in Roswell. I think that they're... something going on here that we don't necessarily know about. I just think it's really odd that the government won't admit it because you just see so much information out there that you just never know about. So that's my story.
That's cool.
Sit down from that window. I'm sorry there.
Oh, no problem.
He's being a bad cat there. Oh, my God, I think he's weeing on that floor.
Oh.
You're going to have to get him, Emily. Get that cat out. But I appreciate it.
No problem.
Again, I like listening to your show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Have
Bye-bye.
A good night.
Wow. Interesting stories. I think it was actually Casper Mountain, right, where that guy said he, you know, he saw that light. And a couple of my brother and my dad were there, and a couple of my brother's friends, if I remember correctly, were there as well. And we were up on a sled hill, and it was pitch black out, and we liked to do night sledding. It was what it was called. We were night sledding. on this big hill, and it was a really, really fun hill during the day and even during the night. It was even scary during the night because you couldn't see where you were going. We climbed to the top of the hill, and my dad and I were underneath this tree, and my brother and his friend went off to explore somewhere in the sled. They were trying to find what was over a ridge, and all of a sudden, a bright flash. Ooh, I should probably hang up the phone so people can call in. But a bright flash just enveloped the entire forest. And I don't know. To this day, I cannot explain what happened. It was a split-second flash. All four of us saw it. So I don't know what that was. If you guys have any explanation, I want you to give me a call. 801-585-3449. What could that possibly be? What could that flash in the night be up there on the night on a mountain like that? We were trying to think of that, since there's radio towers on the hill. I mean, Casper Mountain is home to almost all the radio towers for the radio stations in Casper. We were trying to think if that was the cause of it, but I don't believe to this day that a radio tower could have pulled something off that bright, because it was just blind. You couldn't see in front of you, and again, it lasted only like a split second. I mean, a few seconds at most, but you could not see in front of you. The whole area lit up, and what that was, I don't know. Maybe it was a supernova. What, I don't know what it was. Fireball in the sky. But anyway, yeah, 801-585-3449 is the number to call if you have any weird or scary stories about UFOs. If you've ever been abducted, you should call in right now. And we're also taking MySpace fast flashes on myspace.com/theUFM. That's myspace.com/theUFM. So, yeah, send us a fast flash and we'll put it on air. But other than that, if we're not going to get any phone calls, I'm going to play some music. That I specifically brought for this show. Oh, there we go. Save me from playing music.
Good night. You're on KU Student Radio.
How you going? How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm a rancher here down in southern Utah.
Okay.
And I make the drive across central Nevada a lot, and I've driven by the road that goes to Area 51.
Really?
Yeah, and I have a scary story. It's not a UFO story, but it's a scary story nonetheless.
Okay. Go ahead and tell us.
Anyways, I drive by here all the time, delivering my cattle and such.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I just got curious and I decided, I think I'm going to drive down this road. I heard you can go about 12 miles till you hit the border where they start shooting at you and stuff like
that.
But I started going down the road, Groom Lake Road, and there's sensors all over the place, and I must have tripped one of the sensors, because about 5 seconds after I started down that road, I saw an F-117 or some kind of fighter jet fly over about 300 feet elevation, very low, fly over about 5 miles up the road, probably trying to warn me to get out of there.
Interesting.
That happened on Groom Lake Road. Scared the crap out of me.
Yeah, they patrol that area pretty well, even though Area 51 is supposedly shut down, according to them. I mean, they patrol that area very well, and they have itchy trigger fingers, basically.
You know, supposedly they say once you start going down that road, they got a little watchtower about 19 miles away on a mountain. They can see you immediately, right when you get on that road, and they're watching your every move.
Mm-hmm. And I've researched this. They have like highly sensitive cameras that can zoom in like great distances with like super lenses and stuff, so they can watch the highway. I think there's a particular highway that the town of Rachel, Nevada, is on.
Yes, that's the highway I have to pass by on my delivery route.
Yeah, that's the one that they have. They have sensors that are watching that highway in specific. So
that's the extraterrestrial highway is called by the state of Nevada.
That's cool. Yeah, I know that. That's awesome. But yeah, scary flybys of jet airplanes by Area 51. I've heard it happen a lot, actually. So.
All right, that's all I had to say.
Well, have a good night.
And thank you for calling the UFM. 801-585 is the number to call. 801-585-3449, actually, not 801-585. 801-585-3449. If you have any scary UFO stories, we'd like to hear them. or scary ghost stories from last week's show, or anything of the sort.
Thank you for calling the UFM.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a UFO story I'd like to say.
Okay.
I was living in Palm Springs. Actually, I wasn't living in Palm Springs. My cousin lived down in Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm.
And, I went down and visited him from where I lived, which was maybe about 6 hours away. And this was about in April of last year, I believe. And we were sitting out, it was actually like right around Easter holiday.
Hmm.
And we were sitting out on his back porch, which faces to the north. And up north of his, Palm Springs is Joshua Tree National Park.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have, 29 palms up there, and there's also a military base up there. And, so we were sitting on his back porch, and, it was just me and him, and we were listening to, we actually happened to be listening to Art Bell. It's funny you mentioned it.
Yeah.
But we were listening to Art Bell. And, actually his radio, like, for some reason, we couldn't get reception. And I think the reason why is because it was in shortwave, and it was stuck in shortwave or something.
Hmm.
But we looked up to the north, and what we saw, it was kind of hazy because there was, like, smog coming out of the L.A. Valley through the pass there where I-10 goes through.
Mm-hmm.
But, so there was smog coming out of there, and all of a sudden we see through the smog off in the distance coming towards us. But it was like, it seemed like really far away. It seemed up by Joshua Tree National Park, which is probably about 30 to 40 miles away. We see this triangular, spacecraft heading towards us really slow, but it's like, we see these two lights flying in formation, and now all of a sudden we see this third one on the top, and it forms this triangle. And it's coming at us, like, kind of slow. We see this for maybe about, I'd say, a minute or so. So it looks like it's coming at us, and all of a sudden it just kind of disappears.
Hmm.
And, like, we're like, oh, did you see that? And, like, yeah, we both confirmed our story. And then, like, about, maybe it was, like, 15 minutes later, we saw, like, what looked like these two lights flying in formation over Joshua Tree National Park. And they were flying probably about the northeast trajectory towards the military base up there, and they were like far away. They were like over, like, I think it's called the Little San Jacinto Mountains or whatever.
Hmm.
But it was like I have to say, it's like the one UFO incident I've pretty much seen, and I'm like, holy cow, that's the UFO. You know, we don't know where it was unexplainable. I mean, both of us saw it.
That's really scary. I mean, The good thing about it is the more people that see it, the more chances of it's not, you know, fake.
Oh,
recording.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
It's like the Phoenix Lights situation. Thousands
of
people saw that.
People see those.
Thousands, if not millions of people saw that, you know, and of course they saw it on the news the day after that.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then of course there was the big cover-up. But anyway, thank you for calling in, and that was a good story. That's
cool.
Yeah,
I like your show.
Have a good night.
Bye. Bye.
801-585-3449 is the number to call if you have your last-minute UFO stories, because we only have 6 more minutes in the show, to call and tell us your UFO stories. If you have been abducted, that would be really cool. I'd like to hear from somebody who's been abducted and what they've done to you. We're not going to say... We're going to be pretty open-minded tonight on this show. I do believe that there are other civilizations out there, and I believe that there are other forms of life that could potentially come here and visit, you know, that are obviously more intelligent than we are, that are, because when you really think about it, our technology is just getting going right now. I mean, we've only been into space within the past 40 years. We haven't, it's a new technology to us that we don't fully understand at this point. But yeah, I believe there are other forms of intelligent life out there, and they've contacted us. I just believe the government likes to cover things up. So, anyway, you are listening to the UFM show. Almost said UFO show. It is the UFO show on the UFM. There you go. And if nobody has any last-minute phone calls, I'm going to play this Smash Mouth Satellite song. It's appropriate for the show. But I will be right back.
I see a beautiful face, it's pointed straight up towards the small.
Okay, they're Smash Mouth with Satellite. It's one of my favorite songs of theirs. They've also got some other good songs. Anyway, I wanted to give you guys a quick heads up. We got 5 more minutes left in the show. So, this is your chance to call. And call you shall. 801-585-3449 is the number. We'd like to hear from all those people who out there who have had UFO experiences. And even if you haven't had a UFO experiences, you can just comment on the show tonight. Give us your opinion on the UFM show, and we'll try to make changes and suggestions and comments and stuff like that. It's all good. We just want your feedback. We want to know that people are actually listening to this show, because if not, KU, it's not going to exist much longer. So KU is supported by students at the University of Utah. If there's nobody listening, then it's gone. So 801-585-3449 is the number. Just give us your opinions on ghosts, on UFOs, on the show. We would really like to hear from you. And we have about 5 more minutes left. So that's your chance to call. That's your cue right now. And I know there's like a significant delay on the people who are listening on the internet. So yeah, I got a new MySpace message. So let's check this out. Says, hey, I really like your stuff. It's very interesting listening. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm not going to read your name on the air, of course, for your own privacy. But thank you for commenting on the show. I got another fast flash just now that says, yeah, lots of wolf problems and cows disappearing and such. Not much about alien abduction. Okay. Yeah. That's what we were talking about earlier, is that most cow mutilations are caused by humans, not UFOs. Well, I guess now if nobody's going to call, I'm going to talk about my opinion about UFOs. So, I believe, like I said, that there are other life forms out there that are more advanced than us, and I believe that we have actually been visited by a number of craft. I believe that the Roswell incident was fake, given the substantial evidence to say otherwise, that it was just something that they planted there. I'm not going to necessarily say that all the UFO sightings in the world were fake. I'm guessing a lot of them that are really, really tough to figure out what they are in fact something that we haven't yet to explain. It's why they're called UFOs. I myself, having seen that big flash experience, I've never seen a physical UFO myself. I may have thought I did, but I could easily explain it was a plane. So that's what I'm thinking. Anyway, that's my opinion on UFOs, and I really back SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. I really think it's a good program, and I disagree with the government cutting funding for it. And as far as Voyager 1 or 2, I'm really interested in hearing from those spacecraft. That's really cool that they've been out there for over 30 years now, and they're still going.
Good evening, Carl. You're on the UFM.
Hey, can you hear me, Justin?
Oh, hey, dude. What's going on? We saw we lost
hey,
you.
Hey, I can't hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, no. I got a call and tell you something. There's some freaky thing going on here.
Okay, what's going on?
Well, I think there's something that's been with the UFOs that you were talking about earlier, the made in England.
The what?
The UFOs that were made in England. Oh,
okay.
My God. Hold on. Hold on a second.
Hello? Dude, are you there? Dude. Shoot.
Sorry, we're going to have to cut you off. I don't know what happened there. Dude, if you could try to call us again. If not, I guess if you're still listening to the show, have a good night. I hope you're okay there. I hope something's not terribly wrong there. That's creepy. I don't know what's going on with you. Huh. But he's our self-proclaimed UFO expert. Was our self-proclaimed. I don't know what's wrong with him. And we also had Trey Hess, a ham radio operator from Las Vegas, on with us earlier today. But that will do it, folks. If nobody else is going to call into the UFM show for this evening, I would like to really thank all of our callers. I'd like to thank our guest, Dew Bigham. Hopefully he's okay. Trey Hess, I want to thank you. I'll try to contact you on ham radio as soon as I get one.
Thank you for calling the UFO.
Hey,
UFO.
Can you hear me?
You there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, okay, what's going on?
We're being abducted, I think. Whoa.
Whoa.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Can you hear that?
Yeah, I can hear that. What's going on? That sounds terrible.
They're still abducting this girl over there. They're abducting this girl. Oh, my God.
Try to save her.
Hey, hold on. Hold on.
Hello? Do? Do, are you there? I'm trying to contact him online as well. He's not answering. Do? Do? Do, are you there? Shoot.
Okay. I don't know what's happening there with you. That's really creepy. That's going to creep me out for the rest of the night. I hope everything's going right there. You said he was in the southwestern United States. I hope somebody was down there with him. But anyway, we're going to have to get out of here. Do, if you can call back within like the next 2 seconds. There, I'm sure that's him.
Do, are you there?
Hey.
What's up?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. What's up?
I'm not kidding you. Something just weird happened. That girl, I don't know where she went.
Oh, shoot.
I don't know where she went. I'm a little scared now.
Oh, no.
What should I do?
Are you okay?
What should I do?
Are you okay?
I think I'm okay. I'm underneath this rock.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Oh, my God. I think I got her. Hold on. You're all right. She just appeared out of nowhere. And you're all right.
Okay. Okay, I was...
You're all right. Oh, my God. Hey, I don't know. You got to tell the caller to call us, but I can't figure this out. We got to get out of here. I think there's some... I think I heard a bug up there in the distance. Oh, my God. I can't believe this. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to listen to what's going on. It sounds chaotic.
It was for a minute. I can't explain it. It's just like lights everywhere shut it down, and this girl started getting sucked up in the air, and I was trying to hold on to her. Oh, my God. Can't believe this actually happened. Oh, my God.
Where's the rest of your team members?
Okay, I'm going to give you my location, okay? This is for your own safety, all right? If you're around Winnemucca in Nevada,
okay,
be careful. I'm in Winnemucca. I'm right around there.
Okay, you're right around Winnemucca. I've been to Winnemucca.
Okay, yeah, be careful, okay? There's something going on here. I'm not kidding you. There's just a bunch of bright lights. This girl got sucked up in the air. Then all of a sudden, she, like, it came back down. Half of my team is gone. I don't know where the hell they are. I think they ran off into the brush around here.
That's really creepy. I'm sorry. You'll find him. I hope you'll find him.
I don't have any other one to talk to. I don't know if anybody's going to believe me.
I believe you. This happened live on air. What? Nobody could stage this.
No one could stage it. That's right. No one could stage this. My God.
What's happening now? Is it calmed down?
There's something off. Like, we're moving kind of slow in the distance. It's kind of moving at a... it's got like a red, white, and green light, kind of moving slow. I don't know if it's a helicopter or if it's a UFO. It's kind of off to the west a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Hold on a second. Oh, my God, what the hell is that?
Something I heard a train.
There's a train off in the distance, too, right? I bet that train conductor could see it.
You said there was a giant cat just a second ago?
I thought I saw something like a mountain running off in the distance, too. A silhouette of a mountain lion. Like that, some kind. Uh-oh.
What's going on now?
That thing is coming towards us again.
Is it coming back?
It's moving towards us.
Get to cover.
All right, come on, run. Run, girl. Oh, shit. She's getting fucked up again. Oh, my God. Run. Get down. Get down.
Oh, shoot. We lost him again. Dude, if you can hear us. Dude, if you can hear us. Hello?
We lost him. Okay, I'm gonna have to. Wow, this is a first, folks. We've never experienced anything like this on the air. This is strange. Okay. I'm getting word from my producer that we're not getting due back because we lost the connection. It sounded really bad. I don't know what's going on. Okay, but. Oh man, I hate to end the show like on a note like that. Oh, I hope he's all right. Everybody, wish for Dude to be better. So, I hope he's all right. Oh, I hope he's all right. That would be scary if he wasn't all right. But anyway, okay, that is the UFM show for tonight. Shoot, now I'm all scared of Dude. I'm gonna have to. See if I can reach him again later after the show. I just got a text message. Okay. Anyway, that is the UFM show for this evening. I hope you guys enjoyed listening. I hope Dew is all right. That is scary. Whoa. Okay. Bad equipment problems here. Anyway, all right. Let me try to find a good song to play that'll close the show out. That'll be all right for okay, now my CD player is acting stupid. That was, is there a ghost in this room? Because this is really scary. Something's going on here. Okay, anyway, you guys have a good night, and we'll see you. We won't see you next week, actually, because next week is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. But you guys have a good night, and I wish you a good, safe Thanksgiving. Drive safely, and enjoy your turkey. And wish me luck in Vegas tomorrow. I'll see you guys 2 weeks from now on the UFM show. Thanks for listening.
Networks. In other words, KUT Channel 66, KUT.org and 1620, and DXFM 99.9 on East Campus. Thank you for listening to the UFM show. Archives are available online at ubstudios.com shortly.
Be sure to tune in next week. Unknown things are gonna happen.
When the white eagle of the north is flying overhead, and the browns, reds, and golds of autumn lie in the gutter, dead. Remember then the summer birds with wings of fire flame, come to witness spring's new hope, born of leaves decaying. As new life will come from death, love will come at leisure. Love of love, love of life and giving, without measure, gives in return the wondrous yearn of promise, almost seen. Live hand in hand, and together we'll stand on the threshold of a dream.
This has just been the UFM on KUTE Student Radio, 1620, channel 66 in the dorms, and online at KUTE.org. Also on air on the east side of campus on 99.9 FM. My CD player's not working. Anyway, yeah, that's the end of the show. So we're going to put the crappy rotational music back on.